This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the morning run continues. Julian Ntung Chung Han and myself, Sharad Kutin, with the top business stories of the day. We begin with the message of our newly minted Agong. In part of his speech, he referred to the economy, and this is him and his message to Malaysians.
Sungguh pun negara kita sedang dilanda kelembapan ekonomi. Langkah-langkah khusus yang diambil oleh kerajaan telah berjaya mengatasi tekanan-tekanan dari luar terhadap ekonomi negara, terutamanya dalam menangani penyusutan nilai ringgit. Di samping itu, rakyat pula telah menunjukkan sokongan penuh pada strategi yang dirangka oleh kerajaan bagi memulihkan ekonomi negara. Kita tidak akan mampu untuk melangkah lebih jauh sekiranya kita tidak bersama-sama dalam usaha-usaha meningkatkan ekonomi kita hari ini.
That was His Royal Highness the Agong, the Sultan of Kelantan, Mohammed V, speaking about the economy. Han, I mean, I think this is a message that perhaps Malaysians want to hear. They want to believe that we're going to be turning the corner on our economic situation.
Yeah, you know, one would like to think so, but when you look at the numbers, say, for example, this new normal, so to speak, of the ringgit, 4.4 against the US dollar, you know, is that enough? You know, has government policy really gone that much, you know, in terms of trying to stem these external pressures on the Malaysian economy? I look at foreign reserves falling below that 100 billion US dollar mark. You know, look at, well, yeah, GDP I mentioned already, look at rising inflation as well. You know, so you have these other numbers that perhaps suggest, you know, more pressure on the Malaysian economy. Now, yes, I know, I totally agree. Obviously, you know, support and unity is a very much a central theme for Malaysians moving forward. But, you know, I wonder if this call, you know, of, you know, rallying to improve the economy, you know, is that mutually exclusive to calls or the goal of, for example, demanding more transparency, accountability, and more efficient, say, allocation of resources from the government? Don't those measures go towards improving the economy as well?
I think that you're right in bringing up the economic practicalities, but being a constitutional monarchy, of course, the king is only reflecting the views of the government. I don't know whether this call for unity is slightly jingoistic, because the question remains, how can we galvanize people to work together? Because you can't run policy just on moral suasion alone. You need to incentivize people in a certain way, and you need to lead by example.
Well, there's the question of external factors, right? The price of crude, global demand. I mean, these are things that are not within the control of anybody in Malaysia, prime minister or not.
Right, exactly. No. So, you know, the question then is, are policies and this unity or, you know, the galvanized support or moral suasion, you know, are these enough, to stem the tide of pressures that we're seeing, you know, weigh on the Malaysian economy, right? Because, again, as we are seeing, you know, I mean, just for this year alone, there are expected pressures not just from inflation, either due to maybe a low base effect or, you know, rising oil prices, but, you know, certainly on the ringgit, right? You know, so investor sentiment out there beyond Malaysia, when you look at the Malaysian story, is that enough? Oh, policy, unity, etc.
Yeah, for example, how do you deal with bread and butter issues? How do you get the appropriate education, the appropriate jobs? I think Malaysians are not only unemployed, but many of us are also underemployed, meaning that we are not being used to our full potential. How do we get rid of corruption? Those are some very practical questions. For example, I read now that there is some kind of meeting of minds as far as the 1MDB bonds are concerned, but how do we prevent another 1MDB from sucking out so much resources out of the economy?
I mean, the 1MDB story saga, as it was, really dampened the Malaysian brand Malaysia. You know, in many ways, brand Malaysia became synonymous with the debacle of 1MDB, which is still being investigated in multiple jurisdictions around the world. And we haven't seen the end of that story. So, 1MDB is a deep well of negativity for brand Malaysia.
Right. No, but then when you consider this recent news flow of them, of Malaysia, you know, or specifically 1MDB and the Ministry of Finance, apparently reaching a deal with IPEC in terms of that arbitration you know, is that a positive development for the Malaysian story? You know, I'm trying to look at it from different angles here, you know, and we have done so over the last few minutes. On one hand, you can look at it from the viewpoint of Malaysians, you know, being, you know, as citizens, while at the same time, you can also look at this from a foreign investor's perspective. You know, you can ask the question, say, has the 1MDB effect really been fully priced in already? You know, if you recall, even the central bank, you know, had actually cited 1MDB as one of the reasons for the pretty lackluster performance in the ringgit, for example, right? So you have that vantage point. But then, you know, it'd be interesting to find out what analysts and economists, you know, kind of make of this new development here, that, you know, this dispute between IPIC and 1MDB and the Ministry of Finance. I mean, keep in mind, this was no small change here. They were, but last year when they approached this, put this to arbitration, they were asking for $6.5 billion. So that's no small money right there, unless if you're Julian Ng. I don't know. I'm kidding. I know, but again,
I wish.
But so
I think that, I think there is a
positive.
There is a huge schism between what you define as positive. Of course, the market analysts don't represent the person on the street, right? Mm. So, the person on the street, are they fully aware of the reverberations and ramifications of 1MDB on their well-being, not only today but over the long term? How are we going to continue as a nation if we don't get all these things sorted out as to what the what the best practices are for the government to adopt?
Or are they more concerned with, you know, bread and butter issues, you know, like rising prices of things? Now, for example, you've got this article from BAT Malaysia that's in the Edge Financial Daily today, you know, with the managing director for BAT Malaysia talking about, you know, how the consumption trends in Malaysia when it comes to cigarettes, a lot of them are gravitating towards the illegal cigarettes due to the rising cost of the legal cigarettes. I mean, there's even talk, right? We spoke about this. There's talk about raising cigarette prices to 21 ringgit and 50 cent for a 20 stick pack versus the current, you know, 12 to 17 range or so. So, you know, the question is, do Malaysian voters, or does the Malaysian populace have enough headroom in their consumption trends to really absorb these rising prices?
I mean, going out further, the lament of Eric Stoll, who is the new, he replaced Stefano Clini as the managing director of BAT, and he is pointing out a fine example of what is a good policy and what is a bad policy, because when you raise cigarette taxes, the immediate reaction is that, oh, this will increase government coffers. But Mr. Stoll is saying that it doesn't, because the more you raise taxes on cigarettes, the more the illicit market becomes expanded because they are so much more competitive than the legal market. So the government is working against itself. And so you then question, why is it that our security is so lax that the illegal market can thrive out of a tax policy by the government?
Well, you know, the tax policy was good because it was going to change people's behavior. Basically, it was a disincentive to smoke.
Punitive.
And that's probably a good thing, right? The lax enforcement and border controls and customs is the problem for that policy.
But again,
they're not stopping the smoke. They're buying it from just different sources.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, the sources are coming from illegal entry of cigarettes.
Yeah, so you're
right?
Not really curbing smoking. You are just
so that's
pushing people to buy cigarettes from cheaper sources.
Right, but real quick, you know, there is another major stakeholder in this equation here. It's not just the companies and government enforcement, but it's also the people. If the demand is not there to begin with, then this wouldn't be an issue at all. And also, this is an issue that we have spoken about a lot on this show. And I know there have been some misunderstanding in the past from what I'm trying to convey here. So let me be clear. The issue here is this. Where do you draw the line, all right, between letting market participants, you know, go about your business, do what you want, as opposed to, say, you know, ensuring the greater good, the safety of these people, you know, in spite of their, you know, wishes, right? So, in other words, do you rely or do you lend or lean more towards free will, right, individual accountability versus, you know, trying to safeguard the greater good, and that could also mean the good of BAT Malaysia, smokers, non-smokers, the healthcare costs, and even government coffers.
Well, this is a fascinating discussion, but we're coming up to the top of the hour and news. After that, we'll have the opening numbers on the stock market and more analysis on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.